From high above First Street in productive Minneapolis, this is Nice Games Club, the show where nice game devs talk gaming and game development.
I'm Ellen Burns-Johnson, and I make nice games.
I'm Stephen McGregor, and I make nice games.
And I'm Mark McCroy, I too make nice games. This week, we're trying something new. It's called Nice Thinking, where one of your nice hosts or a nice guest brings an idea or concept into the clubhouse for some brainstorming and design. And so, if everyone's ready, let's start.
Ooh, that was well timed. Wow.
It's a brand new concept. We nailed the intro on the first try.
Wow.
That's a good sign.
This idea, we're calling it Nice Thinking, is a little like our Nice Games jams, but not quite. Ellen, why don't you describe what is the same and what's different about
it? Yeah, so I think what's going to be the same is maybe the feeling of getting through the episode, like listening to the episode, because we're going to be doing a lot of thinking out loud and like testing ideas for mechanics and so on and so forth out loud or on paper. And I don't think we'll have any dice for this one or cards, but that might be a familiar kind of journey as we like start from just a concept and then go forward with that. That might feel familiar. What's going to be different is, unlike a Nice Games jam where most of the time we have no idea what we're going to be doing, we are going to walk into this recording with a specific like design challenge.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be more narrowly defined than a prompt. And we have already kind of talked a little bit about the design challenge beforehand.
And not just that, this is an idea that the person who brings it to the clubhouse, it's something that's been on their back burner or something they've been thinking about, and they want the space to develop it further. And so this all came because, Ellen, you have something like this.
Yeah.
That you wanted to sort of hammer out. And thought this would be a good opportunity to do it.
Yeah,
and we agree. So yeah. You're our first sort of test concept for this premise with this idea that you've got.
Now I'm getting nervous.
What I'm excited about is this thing is like we can get more in depth about our conversation. Like with the game jam, we only got an hour. We got to do things quick.
An hour and a half.
Preferably an hour.
Yeah.
And so like, but with this, like we've got some time to like really get in depth with a specific conversation.
Yeah. With a Nice Games jam, I think what you're saying is like at the beginning of a Nice Games jam, you're like, well, what kind of game are we going to make?
Right. We have to end with like, we have to have a deliverable.
Right.
Or we hope to anyway.
Yeah.
With this, it's really just using the time we have in the episode to move the ball down the field as far as we can move it.
In an entertaining way, hopefully with some goofs.
Oh, there will be goofs.
Right.
There will be goofs.
4% goofs by volume. Well, okay, now it's 5%.
Too many goofs, my gosh.
Balance is off. The mouthfeel is wrong. What am I supposed to pair this with? Okay, let me talk about the prompt.
Yes.
So I live in a neighborhood, like most people. And in this neighborhood, there is a park, and it's just really great because it's a really like highly used park. Obviously, that has been a little bit different during the pandemic, but now things have opened back up and people are at the park and they're sitting on the benches and kids are playing on the playground and adults are playing on the playground. And there's this group that is like out there every night playing basketball. The tennis courts across the street and people playing tennis all the time and throwing their dogs for their balls, but it's the other way around. And I just love it. It's used so much. On the other hand, you got a lot of people there. And so there is some trash that accumulates. And what I've been doing to try to help with that, just like a little bit of community service, is just once a week or so, I'll take Pixel on a walk and we'll just walk around the park and we'll pick up some trash. But I'm a one person and I'm doing it once a week. There's probably a lot of trash that I don't quite get. And it seems like there, you know, everyone's in the central location, like there should be a better system for picking up trash. Mm-hmm. Problem is, like, the trash can sometimes gets full and then it's a while before someone comes and empties it because they empty it on a schedule, but people don't use the park according to the schedule of the trash can.
Yeah.
So I was trying to think of maybe like a system that would use like maybe some game design combined with like some smart technology and some social volunteering networky stuff, to try to like kind of create a community driven, but technologically enabled system for like getting people to recycle more or okay. just use the trash can.
Immediately, this makes me think of an alternate reality game.
Okay. That might be more complicated than we need.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe. I don't know.
Let me explain.
The universe of possibilities of this are so wide. Yeah. It could be something that is like a neighborhood's like a next door kind of neighborhood social network thing that had this component.
Yeah.
It lived there entirely. It could be signage in a park that with QR codes mm-hmm. to get points.
Yeah.
It could like there's lots of ways. There's,
yeah, I'm not yeah. thinking Pokemon's what's the one that people walk around with?
Pokemon Go?
Yep. Pokemon Go to the polls.
Man. Pokemon Go to the park.
Pokemon yeah. Go to the park.
Right.
That'd be really cool is if like you each piece of trash is a Pokemon or something. That'd be pretty neat.
Yeah. What would happen there is that people would then generate trash.
Yeah.
yeah. See, that's part of a gamifying anything is anticipating the exploits.
The yep. metagaming it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So I thought a little bit about like how this could work, and I'm going to share that with you, and we can yes. go a completely different direction. But
cool.
Yeah.
I'll just throw this out there just so we have a place to start, and then we can throw that in the trash can if we want to. So what I was thinking of is like first a smart trash can.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So basically, when it fills up, it sends a signal to the application, the web app or whatever. The system is like, I'm full, come get me. And
it says it like that so that people will take it seriously.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, he's really struggling out there.
I'm full, come get me. Oh. I'm
full.
I'm already out the door.
I'm too full. Well, you could like name it and you could like give it like an avatar.
Yeah.
Anyway, so like the idea is that you would, when you as a volunteer would interact with the software, the application or whatever, the network, and you would be the person to like kick this off in your neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So like you would say, we want a cool trash can buddy in our neighborhood, and I'm going to be the first volunteer to get notified when it's full. So you'd like, and then whatever nonprofit organization or whatever runs this would like bring out a kit for you and get you set up. And so like you'd have the smart trash can installed, and you as the person who like requested the install would get a notification whenever it's full, and you just take care of it, whatever that means. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm assuming if you've gone through the trouble of setting this up for your neighborhood, you're not just going to chuck it in the river. You're going to like take it home and put it in your trash can, mm-hmm. you know? So it's like, it's not necessarily like relying upon existing municipal structures. It's more about like, I'm going to take this on as like a way of volunteering or something like that.
Right. And that is the question that immediately comes to my mind is like, there's city responsibilities mm-hmm. and like trash services actually cost money. So this isn't just privatizing waste removal, but it could be that.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Those are things we got to think about.
If it's something that was contracted with the city, and it's just about the volunteer labor.
Yeah.
Then it could be like, you know, take the trash. Where do you take it? You know what I mean? That sort of thing. Yeah. But those can be questions we solve later.
Yeah. But I think there are some things we could think about.
Yeah.
But yeah. So the idea is like, okay, so you'd have this trash can and you would get notified whenever it's full, and you'd go out and you'd get it picked up. And then you might be able to recruit a couple other people, and there might be like some signage on the trash can, be like, you can volunteer to help. This trash can's name is Giblet, and you can help take care of Giblet by signing up here. And
honestly, I think naming the trash can is like 80% of the site
for sure.
Like I think that will have a real psychological impact on people, especially if it lives in your neighborhood.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
and like you could absolutely do some things like making the design fun. Like I can't remember what city it is, but like it's this wheelie thing that like goes through the harbor mm-hmm. and picks up trash, and they put googly eyes on it.
Oh.
It's amazing. I just love it so much. Yeah. And like people made t-shirts of it, and it just eats trash and keeps the harbor clean or whatever. I'll try to find it. I'm probably getting a whole bunch of details wrong, but it's real cute. And it's got big eyes. And you could do something like that for the trash can. So like, yeah. So like people could choose to sign up, with the app to like volunteer to help empty Giblet. And is there a better name than Giblet?
That's a great name.
Yeah. I'm going to stick with
solid.
That.
Okay. All right. Okay. So you could like, you'd be able to network with other people in your area who want to volunteer that way. And then they could get notifications if they sign up through the thing. And then they could help. So it wouldn't all be on one person. And it kind of creates like this, like community betterment project that everyone can like connect over. And the other thing I was thinking is, well, you want to make the throwing away of a thing to be kind of fun.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. So like that we'd maybe do something with the trash can. Maybe take the idea of naming it a little further, but like make the design in such a way where it's like fun to put trash in it. And I don't know if it would make sense to like give it a solar panel and it could make a sound when you put a piece of trash in there. That seems a little bit much. People would just be like, or like once in a while, randomly would make a random assortment of sounds.
Right, right.
You know, so it's not like every 100th piece of trash you're going to get a sound. Like it would be random. So it'd just be kind of fun. Just to make it feel good to throw stuff away.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know, maybe there'd be more kind of game-based elements you could put in there, gamified elements you could put in there, like neighborhood competitions or something like that.
Well, when you were saying being notified when it's full, my first thought was like, oh, and there's like 7 people in the neighborhood who get notified.
Yeah.
And whoever gets to it first gets a point.
Oh, that's cool.
Right? Like that's kind of what I was thinking. Like, I don't know what a point means, right? Is there any kind of, can you trade that in for something at the skee ball counter or something?
Yeah.
But like, you know, that the gamification part of it is to sort of like encourage behavior, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're a volunteer, like especially for something that's an irregular activity where you don't have a routine, it can be hard to keep that up. So having another kind of motivation structure there might be useful.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, ultimately, it's still going to rely on people's willingness to be part of a system like that, mm-hmm. right? You can't cheat people who are selfish into doing something like this, but you can encourage continued activity with some sort of gamification system like that.
Yeah. Like a monthly contest or something like that, or some kind of recognition, or who knows. Yeah. And I don't know if that would be like on the individual level or on like the neighborhood level or whatever, but some ideas there.
So the initial problem that you presented was that people don't throw things away in the park. So do you have any kind of solution for that as part of this idea?
Yeah. Putting the trash can in the park.
And just making it fun to use.
Yeah. Well, I don't think preachy signs do anything for one. And and two, it's like, I don't feel like moral outrage at these people, my neighbors, using this park. Like, I do feel
like you don't want to guilt trip people with googly eyes. Right.
I don't know if you could, but you probably can.
Definitely.
No, I mean guilt trip people, but then have the voice of that guilt trip be googly eyes, because then that alienates you against eyes.
Yeah, well, it feels like preachy, but in a backwards kind of way.
Right. You want positive reinforcement.
Yeah. It's like, hey, this is a fun thing for you to do.
Yeah, and so it sounds like to me that we want, like you were saying, you want to make throwing trash away fun. And you want to increase the game feel of it.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. Like add some juice to throwing away trash.
Mm-hmm.
I know, right?
That's
weird.
I guess like having like a sound play when you trash in sometimes would do that.
I mean, you can do it every time, because like how often are you actually using the trash can? Twice per visit.
I'm imagining a 5-year-old walking up to the trash can going and then picking it back up and going and just
now the question that. Is that's an exploit. Is that a problem?
Yes,
it is, if you're just sitting there at the park trying to read,
I suppose. Right. So right, you don't want to be a distraction, right?
Yeah.
it needs to coexist.
Yeah, it is if you're a parent and you don't want your 5-year-old reaching through trash.
Yeah. But if it's random, then like
you won't know.
You'd expect it, and it doesn't happen.
Then
that's a bad feel.
Then you'll still keep doing it too. Also, I don't know if it will stop it.
Or it happens once, and you just learn quickly that it's random.
Yeah.
Would it be random? Well, I mean, like if it's the first time you put, I mean, we can't control it, right? So if it's the first time you put it in, and it happens, you're like, oh, it happens every time, right? But if you come to it and you do it once, it doesn't happen. And it does it again, and you're like, oh, maybe you have to do it 2 times. You know what I mean?
I don't know.
So if I'm someone who's never thrown trash away in this before, and it happens once every 5 times, and I may never hear it.
Yes.
So I never learn that it does that.
Yeah.
If it happens one time when I do it, it's like the third time I try whatever, I'm like, oh, okay, it does that sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, and maybe I have a pretty good understanding with my limited experience that it doesn't always happen. I don't know how frequently, whatever.
Yeah.
Then the next time I do it, it doesn't happen. Then I'm like, all right. You know what I mean? Like if it's an added experience, that's not necessarily encouraging me to use it more.
Sure.
That's just sort of telling me that I didn't get the prize this time.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Mm. Yeah.
But yeah. So I mean,
that's, I guess
depends on where this trash can is. If it's right next to the picnic tables, like, then it probably shouldn't be making a lot of noise.
Also, yeah.
But if it's sort of like near the entrance to the park where people pass but never but don't stop, then it can make noise every time.
We're definitely QAing this game.
this thing would require some testing.
Well, of course, but I mean, like, that maybe is the I don't know how much we want to dive into that specific
thing. Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean? That's all. Yeah. I'm not trying to shoot this down.
I think a lot of this is blue sky. Like, the next idea I'm going to present is going to be require a lot of technology. So, well, like, I'm not anticipating it working or us being able to build it.
Okay.
Or it being practical or feasible or economical. But, like, let's just throw it out.
Yeah.
So, the idea is that, like, it could be less about, I mean, you don't want the negative reinforcement.
Right.
Right.
But one thing you could do is imagine a system where there's cameras in the park or within a range of the garbage can, say, that can identify garbage, right? Mm-hmm. Uses machine vision to know what garbage on the ground is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's just assume that works.
Yeah.
Am I garbage?
Right. So now the trash can knows there's trash nearby that I don't have.
Yeah.
And then it could make a noise, and it could be kind of like a I'm hungry. Can you feed me that thing?
Oh.
Right. And then that's negative reinforcement in a sense, but like the person who littered is probably gone.
Yeah.
So it's probably not for them, right? It's and then the child or whoever, you know, the person who wants to engage with this cute system, the adult, anybody who then picks it up, then there's a direct, I asked for this trash, feed me this trash. And then it can play like a crazy fanfare of like, this is the greatest thing you've ever done. Like, it could be kind of funny in how rewarding it is for picking up this one piece of trash.
Sure.
And then if you just put trash in it, it doesn't do anything, right? It's just a garbage can. But like that would be a way to, it could be very noisy, but it could be a very limited scenario in which it does that. And then it could be kind of thinking like, oh yeah, that's Giblet. Like he gets grumpy if you don't feed him. Like, it could have a personality in a sense. Now that's still ultimately negative reinforcement. If you are a person who throws trash away, it doesn't reward you in any way, like on the regular. But it could be something that's combined with other sort of systems, you know?
Right.
And it might be then fun. Because then it's like, oh, I dropped that trash and that thing's complaining. And then when I correct my behavior, it's like super fun. Like, it's not scoldy, necessarily.
I think that's cool. What is the audience that this trash can is trying to serve? Because I think that, like, what you're describing, Mark, would work for people who aren't...
Sticks in the mud?
I would hope that would be all of our audience.
Yeah.
No, I mean, like, it would work for people who, you know, I guess don't think about trash in that way very frequently,
mm-hmm.
right? But it would not. I don't think it would convert people who don't care.
I think the audience from this particular idea, imagining that it wouldn't try to like catch you littering.
Well, yeah,
right. It's just trash on the ground. Who knows where it came from?
Right.
And then it just makes noise and anybody can pick it up.
Yes.
The audience is the type of person who would throw away their own trash, but isn't going to pick up someone else's trash.
Yes.
Which is kind of most of us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways.
That's true.
Like, I know, like I will throw away trash that is there just because, like, I, you know, I got that instilled to me when I went to, you know, like, environmental studies school.
I do that, too, just because I'm like, ooh, the heck, just drop this thing here.
But I don't think that's the normal. I think a lot of people are like, that's not my business.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'll recycle everything. I'll always throw my stuff away.
Right.
But I see a piece of paper floating around on this, you know, on the sidewalk. I'm not going to stop and pick it up.
Yeah. And to be fair, like, you know, I'm really glad that the kids who are using this park are well hydrated because there are tons of water bottles. But, like, we're still in a pandemic. It's like, if I'm picking those things up, I mean, if there's a full water bottle, I untwist the cap, I dump out the water, I put the cap back on, I put it in my bag.
Yeah.
Like, if it's empty, I'll just use the little shark guy that I have and pick it up with the shark tool and put it in my bag.
This is like a grabber thing?
A grabber thing. Yeah. It doesn't look like a shark. I'm sorry. This is the first thing that came to mind. I really wish it looked like a shark.
Yeah.
I could probably add some fins or something. Anyway.
let's brainstorm that.
Have grabber, add fins.
Oh, okay. That's finished.
Done. That's our show. we're talking about. Oh yeah, no, I'm taking on some risk there.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
And I'm a pretty low risk category.
Yeah. I mean, that's true of garbage generally. You don't know what you're touching.
Yeah.
Okay. I washed my hands when I got home, you know?
Right.
But if you're a passerby and you're being engaged by a system like this, then you're not expecting to have to then have the consequences, which is like sticky hands, or you don't know what you're touching.
Yeah. Yeah, it's more like, I think it's people, it's, I think it's adults. So to define the audience, like you were asking first, even mm-hmm. to define it a little bit more, it's adults who are in the park, who may not normally think about trash, or maybe they're supervising kids and so they're just getting distracted, but like this one little fun thing mm-hmm. Can be like helpful, or like it's a fun interaction to have, so they might be more willing to like just remember that they have this so that they can go experience that little fun thing a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the other thing would be kids, just kids, because you know, I think that kids would be more likely to just engage with that system because it's right. there.
Yeah.
And their hands are already grubby.
And their hands are already gross, man.
Yeah.
So like if they grab another couple pieces of trash, like great. And the other thing too is like they're going to be looking for high volume stuff because it's going to fill up the trash can more. So like those bottles will get picked up mm-hmm. and they'll get thrown away. Which is fine. So I'm like, yeah. You don't have to be digging into the dirt. I mean, like if you want to, power to you, because I do this sometimes, but like there's this piece of plastic buried in the dirt and you want to get it out. Like,
yeah.
Plastic should not be in the ground.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you want to take it that far, I would be the kid on the playground who would take it that far. So I know that there are other kids that are like small me who would do that. And I want to reward them for doing those things and yeah. feel good about it.
You know, the way you describe the audience, the people this would not work on is teenagers, because they're anti everything. And so, do you know what I mean? Like there's a kind of like a garbage can, like a plain garbage can with a yeah. sign that says, please pick up your litter
yeah.
will work better on a teenager
yeah.
than a cute thing. Even if it's in the style that teenager is into. They're like, I'm not engaging with that system. Do you yeah. know what I mean?
That thing's clearly there to manipulate me. I will not.
Right.
Yeah. Which right. Yeah.
Something we
yeah.
could.
I mean, I'm joking, but I do mean that seriously. Yeah. It would actually have a, like, it, particularly if you think about, like, this would require some study. Like, who is right. it that's leaving trash?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
If it's teenagers, then we have a different problem.
Different types of trash. I'm pretty sure it is.
Yeah.
Because, like, on the one side of the playground or the one side of this park where there's the playground with a slide and swings and everything like that,
mm-hmm.
it's like, granola bar wrappers, almost exclusively granola bar wrappers.
So it's parents.
Well, and parents are giving the yeah, children yeah. a granola bar wrapper and then like forgetting to ask them for the wrapper back, or the kids, they're just dropping it somewhere. And there's mm-hmm. like this little like green space in between the basketball court and the playground. And like obviously kids are going and playing in there and they're leaving their wrappers down there. Near the basketball court, it's all beverages. It's all beverage containers.
Yeah.
You know, so it's pretty funny. And then like on the, there's a, like a big green area, and then on the kind of far end of this park space is a couple baseball diamonds, and that's the parents' trash. Yeah. You can see where they've just like they were watching, and they like pulled out a baggie from home and ate a snack, and then mm-hmm. I don't know, didn't put it back in their pocket. That I get a little bit upset about. If you're an adult and you're watching a game, kids are playing, and there's no trash can, take your trash with you.
So I think. Because you've seen a lot of this and mm-hmm. the different types of trash all over the different areas of this park,
yeah,
I'm getting a sense that there's just trash everywhere all the time. But obviously, that's not the case, mm-mm. right? So give me an impression of, like, how bad is this problem?
I don't know how to frame that for you.
Okay. Like, on one trip through, what is the volume of trash you have to pick up on an average trip through?
So I picked up trash this morning,
mm-hmm.
and I went through both baseball diamonds and the playground side of the park and the little middle green space and the basketball side of the park, and I filled up one like standard size trash bag.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I left a couple things, mm-hmm. small things.
And you go through how often?
Like once a week.
Once a week. So that's about a week's worth of litter.
Yeah.
Is a full trash bag.
That actually might be more because I didn't do it last week.
Okay.
So.
Okay. So, I mean, it's going to vary a lot, I imagine.
Yeah. Well, I think some people came through after 4th of July
mm-hmm.
because all the litter that I did see after the 4th of July, like the fireworks left behind. Yeah, it was really bad. And so I think the city probably just planned like a sweep at some point just to get rid of, they knew that it was going to be there, so they got rid of it.
Okay.
So once a week.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So there's like different strategies we could employ here too, because mm-hmm. like maybe a fun trash can, you know, that celebrates when you throw away trash. Will work as a for the general populace, but like maybe there's, you know, every week there's a soccer game and there's just a bunch of kids and they're drinking so many water bottles and they don't care where they, because they're in the middle of a soccer game and it's intense.
Mm-hmm.
And,
right.
You know, the kids can barely kick the soccer ball, but it feels intense to them because they're and you know, so they're just throwing their water bottles everywhere. And then there's a bunch of parents that they're trying to pay attention to their kids, but also they're trying to do their side gig. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of stuff happening, but a lot of trash is generated during that time. Like, maybe this trash can app thing should focus on soccer.
High volume times.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, that's why I'm trying to get a sense of the scale of the problem.
Yeah.
Because the scale of the solution is going to have to match it. Right.
Yeah.
Like if this is kind of just a passive thing that everybody kind of like notices out of the corner of their eye,
right,
then that might be something, because then it doesn't overwhelm the sort of environment of the park.
Yeah.
But it could also be something like that could help just get up a couple of encourage people to pick up some litter that's just been there throughout the week or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's something where like a bunch of stuff comes in on Saturday afternoons with all the soccer kids,
yeah,
and soccer parents, then like that needs to be something that's that related to that problem.
In which case, then like the solution to that would be less. Well, and the solution to that would be less technologically, you know, fancy. You could just like have a little game with the kids at the end of the game. Good job, won the game or whatever, and I'll pick up trash. You get some more points.
It could be less about. It could be more just about. I mean, literally, you could have a sign up that says, "Here's a game you can play,"
yeah,
and then describes the rules of the game, and then you just have to trust that people are into it,
yeah,
or not,
yeah.
And then you can have some people encourage it or whatever amongst, you know, once it's up, then someone could go to some coach, of the parents.
The coach would, you know, the coaches could do it. They would,
exactly.
Kids, do this thing, read that sign, do the thing.
It sounds like what we're looking at is like a sort of a program, a suite of options, perhaps.
And that's why I was kind of like
lots of little ideas.
I mean, again, that makes it more complicated if it's like an AR game. But like, yeah, you could do a whole bunch of like small things, and that would just get people in the mindset.
Yeah, the lots of little ideas can then set a culture.
Yes.
Of keeping the park clean.
Right.
Right. Rather than like one big concept or you know one solution that people can then just block out if they don't engage with it.
Yeah, because the one thing that teenagers do react to is social pressure. So if everyone's doing it, then they'll either like reject it in some way, in which case they just won't be at the park, or they'll be participating. Right.
They can just go be goths somewhere else.
Yeah,
right.
I'd like a T-shirt.
Well, what am I supposed to do about that?
You're supposed to tell me to get the nice Games Club T-shirt, Mark.
What might I say if I really wanted that to work on you?
That it's got the nice Games Club logo, which is Superfly.
Yeah.
It's got nice soft textures. It makes a great gift that somebody could give me, which could be Mark or Helen.
Hmm.
If one of us wanted to get that for you.
Right.
Naturally.
And then I could show people that I'm part of the clubhouse.
Oh, okay, cool.
Those are the different
things. So if that's what I was trying to sell you on,
yes.
Where would I tell you to go?
Go to nicegames.club/shirt. Well, I'm telling myself this, I guess. No, see, now I'm advertising to myself.
No. See, this is, if I wanted to tell you,
yeah.
I'm just looking for some advice on how to sell this thing
to
my dear friend Steven.
Yes. Who is me?
I mean, that is beside the point.
I have lost the narrative thread here. Just, I'm in this room and I don't know what we're saying.
nicegames.club/shirt.
Yeah, get that. Me. Oh, gosh.
You guys really did tie it to a point pretty well, though.
We did?
We've got a shirt. You can get it.
I get tricked into advertising. Oh, my goodness.
We've been recording for too long without snacks.
Yeah.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah. Okay. So as we've been kind of ideating, a little bit and thinking about audience and what works on different segments of the audience and what might not.
Yes.
I was thinking, all right, maybe we're making this a bit too hard.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe making it a bit too complicated. Mm-hmm. So maybe one of the things that would work well, like when I think about like the characterization of the trash can, that to me speaks to like a younger audience or to adults like myself who like things that are oriented towards kids.
Yeah.
Because I have fun with anything. So that kind of like personified trash can makes sense there. And then I think maybe for like adults, you just have like a trash can and it has a sign saying when this trash can is full, a neighborhood volunteer comes and gathers the trash.
That's cool, actually. I think that's a cool...
So let people in on the system.
Yeah.
This is how it works.
Yeah.
I really like that because it's just like, oh, this is, you know, it's kind of like, I guess it's like how restaurants would be like, all of our food is local or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it makes you feel good for participating.
Yeah.
Buying stuff there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So like if you throw
people
your trash
do
away
like
here,
transparency.
Yeah.
And they sort of like, yeah. I like that a lot.
Yeah. And it's like that idea of like shared ownership. So, and it could still make a little cute sound. Like,
and that's also the opportunity for to say, do you want to be one of those volunteers? Sign up here.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
That's good.
And I think some trash cans could just have that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there might be this kind of middle ground where, I don't know, it's got like a progress bar or something. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
Or like it levels up. Like you could have like, we've got a level 50 trash can.
Honestly, that's kind of what I was thinking of is like this character comes into its own. It evolves like a Pokemon. Right?
Yeah.
Like the more times it's filled and emptied. And of course, ultimately that's arbitrary. At this scale, I don't think that would encourage an exploit by people stuffing it with garbage for that purpose.
No.
But that, I mean, if it were a digital game, that would be a super risk because resources are sort of unlimited in those ways. But you could have that as kind of an arbitrary concept of like kids could then be invested and so that they can then be part of that culture of like, make sure when you don't throw that juice box down, like throw it in the garbage because eventually it'll grow an antenna or something.
Yeah.
You know? And that could be sort of encouraging that a little bit.
Yeah. So like, I think the characterization on the leveling up could interact like for trash cans that are oriented towards younger neighbors. And then there might be some kind of middle ground for kind of a general audience and then like things that are like place that are more for parents. And they'd all have the sign of like when this trash can gets filled up to the top, a neighborhood volunteer comes and collects it.
Yeah.
They'd all have that messaging, but like some might have just that messaging. And that's it. Some might have like a leveling up kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's like for every 10 levels, you save, you know, this much volume of sea trash or something like that.
Oh, like explaining the rather than actually having anything happen.
Yeah.
Or like just an explanation as to how this works.
Yeah. This has been emptied like 15 times. And for every 20, like
that equals
this many like saved sea turtles. Or I'm not sure how you'd
do that.
But like trying to like just tie it in a little bit. And then there would be like a small one that is kind of built into the same network, but more around like having like creating an opportunity for parents to encourage their kids to clean up, and also then kids to just kind of like auto automatically reinforce, and that would be more of the highly gamified thing. And the thing is like it makes sense to invest a little bit more in that younger group because they also will get older
mm-hmm.
and they will carry that behavior forward.
Yeah.
So
I mean that's what accounts for the success of like the sort of Earth Day trends of the 70s and then a renewal of like environmentalism in the 90s, like the kids who grew up in those decades, it's very weird to, that's why I was sort of asking about the scale of it, because it does seem kind of inconceivable to me, a person who grew up in the late 80s, early 90s, that anybody litters at all anymore.
Yeah, and that's just our background, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
There's
no, obviously it's the people are going to. It's just like the scale of the problem is like that's so fascinating to feel that anybody like not just because culturally it seems inconceivable to leave garbage anywhere, not because I'm trying that hard not to.
Well, yeah,
I've been conditioned and
we've been trained and conditioned to see it and pick it up.
Right. So, but that's a never ending kind of endeavor, right? You can't. So that's just contributing to that because, like you say, people get older.
Yeah.
So focusing on children to the even to the exclusion of other audiences might be the most effective use.
Yeah, I think that, you know, you want to make it rewarding for everybody, but I think it makes sense to lean the weight of your effort on the younger end of the scale.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
whatever you're doing there is going to have longer lasting benefits. Yeah.
And I guess ultimately that's what you want, is a long term solution.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it makes sense to focus on kids.
Yeah.
I've been sitting here thinking about different ways you could exploit it.
Please tell us more.
No, I mean, that's important, right? Once you have a system like this, because in terms of, because the real concern of something like this is maintenance, maintaining a system.
Yeah.
Right. So it's a lot of times this is true of community efforts, but it's true of any kind of volunteer organization. It's like you have to build a system, but you have to make sure that it's sustainable. Like, it doesn't matter how good the idea is, if it requires somebody or the same person to devote this many hours on this time per week to do it, it will never happen.
Yeah.
Like, no matter how well-intentioned those people are, right?
Yeah.
Or if it requires this person to do it, well, what happens when they want to pass the torch?
Right.
Well, suddenly now it's not happening anymore. So, like, you need the sort of sustainable systems.
Yeah.
And so having that, thinking about exploiting it is, I think, probably a more valuable part of the process for designing systems like this than most people do.
Yeah.
Most people consider.
Well, like, okay, so I'm worried that, like, kids are going to be mostly satisfied with the reward part and not about the actual throwing away trash. So they'll just put rocks in the trash can or something to get more points in the thing.
So then
I was thinking...
To fill it up, right?
Yeah. So
independent of whether it makes noise or whatever. Yeah.
Yes. So then I was thinking, then we should have the parents make sure that the parents are, like, keeping track of it on an app, and they press the button whenever an actual trash goes into the trash can. But, like, parents aren't going to want to do that.
No.
They're already with their kids.
Yeah.
Like, they're tired. They don't want to deal with stuff.
No, it's supposed
and that's
to be...
exploitable, too.
Right.
Yeah, and that's exploitable, too.
Yeah.
So that's not a great option either. So I don't know.
The question is, how bad is it that kids will put rocks in there?
I mean, they're not going to... I mean, it's not necessarily going to be rocks. It's going to just be...
It'll be rocks.
Okay. It'll probably
whatever's on hand, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever's around
clumps of grass or whatever.
Your little sister.
They'll break branches off a tree or whatever.
Your little sister.
They'll throw their lunch in there, even though it's not trash yet.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yes.
So like, so
that
the
question. I would be so mad if my kid threw.
Well, no, that's the question. It goes to the scale of the problem. Like,
yeah. Right.
How? Like, if that's something that you let's assume it will happen.
Yes.
How bad would that have to be to be a net negative?
Yeah.
Right? Like, if I'm a volunteer changing the, you know, taking out the garbage every so often, and like a third of it is filled with non-garbage because of these other incentive that are provided.
Yeah.
Like, how many more times do I have to go out to do that per month or whatever? Like, is that, you know what I'm saying? Like, that could be something that, like, that's a case where, is it worth it to patch that exploit or to live with it? Right.
Sure.
This is data we can't know right now because we don't know how people are going to behave.
You sound like an economist. For the second episode in a row.
Well, that's what game design is.
It's like, it's true.
A lot of it is.
Well,
yeah. It's like there's a piece of there's a piece of news where you can break The Last of Us Part 2 if you run really fast chasing an NPC. That's a scripted NPC.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to catch up to them. You just get to a cutscene trigger.
Yeah.
But you can actually run fast enough to outrun them. And then because they don't have any AI, they won't attack you and you can just kill them. And then it like soft locks the game or something.
Yeah.
And there was like an article about this, how you can break it. And people were like, oh man. And like they didn't, and I, you know, we talked about this recently. I'm down on Last of Us.
Uh-huh.
But like, I don't see that as a problem. Like, that's such a rare exploit.
Yeah.
It's like, that's
not a problem.
And someone on Twitter was like, oh, I worked on the QA team and I flagged that bug like 5 times.
Right.
And I'm like, to me, that's a perfect won't fix.
Yeah. I think
that's
totally fine. Yeah. It's definitely a won't fix.
So, but a lot of the conversation that. Around that has not been that. It's been more like, look at this bug. And it's like, I don't know about that. But that's kind of what I'm getting at. It's like, there's a certain amount of these things that like, is this a won't fix?
Yeah.
Sure. You know? I think that a third of your trash being rocks, not trash, defeats the point of the thing.
See, that's that at that point, once it's a third, I think.
Well,
yeah,
arguably, if there's a fraction that is a reasonable amount of fraction, like 10%, even 10%, defeats the purpose. Because the goal is not to get people to throw away trash. The goal is to get people to do it. Wow.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
To throw away trash they wouldn't have otherwise. Not to throw away trash, period.
To actually, like, actively think about throwing away trash.
Yeah.
Not to just, like, throw away trash.
What you actually want to reward people for is throwing away litter. But that's a complicated. How do you know?
Well, and so I started thinking about it too. Like, what if it wasn't trash? What if it was just recycling? Because that's something that like you can better keep track of. Like we sort our trash into cans and bottles, mm-hmm. and that's a certain weight. So like whenever you put something into the recycling bin, like if it's put in there,
it changes the weight, and
if it's empty,
you can guess what.
Well,
it
yeah,
is.
you can check the delta and go, oh, this is too heavy because it was a rock. The kid was like, I want to get points.
Or it was a full bottle. People didn't dump it out beforehand.
And that's bad too.
Yeah. Well, so you have to accept a certain level of impreciseness to that.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's more technology. But like, that seems like a...
Also, rocks come in all shapes and sizes. So I don't know how... It might be incredibly imprecise.
Sure.
The goal of the program is to reduce the amount of trash in the park.
Oh, okay. Well, right? If that's the case, then... It doesn't matter if people gamify it, because ultimately it will
exploit it. Yeah,
yeah. Because ultimately, then there will be less trash.
Right. It rises to the point of like how much like non-trash in the trash can. Becomes a problem for the people who are taking care of it later.
Yes.
And also in terms of like, you know, kids breaking branches and scooping up gravel that needs to stay in the park.
Well, yeah, and if people are gamifying it too, they're still thinking about it.
Right.
Yeah.
So like,
I'm also assuming that like a kid who does that 5 times out of 10. Is going to be stopped by their parents from doing something. Like, you know what I mean? There's a certain amount of trust you just have to have in people, even
children.
Well,
of course. No, like, I think most kids, well, I don't know. I guess I have less trust in kids than you do. Because I feel like parents are not going to be paying attention. Not that they, like, because they're doing a lot of stuff. Like, I don't think they'll care if they throw some rocks and some trash.
Sure.
But I think that ultimately, if the goal is to just get trash in the trash cans, I think that this will serve that purpose.
Yeah,
you could also have a optional policy where it's like, hey, if people are abusing it and they're throwing trash in your trash cans, you're able to like take a week off and put up a sign saying, hey, someone fed me rocks and I'm taking a week to recover.
Right. And so, see, this goes back to who the audience is. Like, are we talking about, we're assuming that the people, the volunteers are people who live in the neighborhood or nearby,
right,
and they're regulars. But also, do we, and this is the thing we have to check, is like, do the people who come to the park and leave trash in the park, are they regulars? Or do people come to the park, people that come to the park tend to leave a little bit of litter? And so the question is like, when you try to encourage a different culture, how long would it take to get through to the populace? Because if it's a rotating audience, they go to the park once a month or less, but enough people go, like then that becomes a bigger job, right? But when you have systems that have kind of like a sign with an update, that's only relevant if you saw what the sign was previously, right? And you had enough, and already people are pretty passively paying attention to park signage.
These are things that you really have to you'd have to test.
Yeah.
Yeah. So much of this is a matter of like, so we have to make some assumptions in designing forward before imagining a prototype or a user test, but identifying all those questions is pretty important.
The problem with game design is you can't know it until you do it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I guess the way that I would, you know, thinking about it from like a more agile perspective is I think I would want to start with a single trash can that just has that sign saying, hey, when this trash can is full, a neighborhood volunteer will come and pick it up and replace it with a new bag.
Yeah.
Well, let's focus on that then, because that's the first idea is signaling somebody. So let's build out that system, because I feel like we haven't talked a lot about that part of it.
We haven't.
Right. Okay. So if, the sign, what is there to talk about the sign?
The volunteer process.
The notification.
Like, signs up? What kind of kit do they get?
Yeah.
How many people in the neighborhood should be part of it in order for it to be not a burden on one person or two people?
Yeah.
Kind of gamification do we have?
So the way I think of it is you grab three people and you volunteer to make sure you pick
up. Step one, grab three people.
You.
Yes. Grab them.
Yeah.
Just take them and buy the, no, anyways. just like, you know, have three volunteers, and these three volunteers, you make clear that like you're gonna have to volunteer pretty frequently until we can get more people to do it. Then you establish that every day the trash can is full, go get it.
This is Ellen. You might know this a little bit better, but do you have any idea how long it takes to fill up one of these trash cans?
I imagine it takes less than a day.
Probably. Oh, maybe
they probably do it every.
Oh,
like
I don't,
twice a day. Or something.
No,
it's, no,
I don't think so. I don't think it takes that. I don't think it's that quick.
Okay,
these are like 50-gallon sort of.
Yeah, I guess they're big,
tubs,
but there's a lot of people.
Well,
but also, I think just if I'm designing a park system, Yeah. I'm not designing it that it needs to be maintained twice a day.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Okay. That's very
but
good.
But I'm making some assumptions on that point. Yeah. But I'm guessing it once a week, maybe a couple times a week. That's my guess would be the most, but I don't know.
There are already trash cans there, right? And they do get picked up once a week. It's just that they don't hold all the trash, A, sometimes, and B, sometimes people just aren't using them.
Yeah.
So
they overflow.
Sometimes they overflow, okay. And sometimes people just aren't using them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think I think because a lot of this would have to be tested, I'm going to go forward the assumption that a small enough percentage of people will put rocks in the trash can that it won't be an issue. Yeah. And the rate of filling will not be so fast that it is an issue.
Right. Okay. Right.
More so than like you're so picking up once or twice a week.
Yeah. What I'm getting at is what sort of Stephen was assuming is like, what would you expect this volunteer schedule to be?
Like picking it up once or twice a week.
Okay. Okay. Well, cool. Then that's what you start with is once a week. The one volunteer goes and does the thing. The next week, another volunteer goes and does the thing.
Well,
you got three volunteers initially.
Yeah.
There's a sign.
Mm-hmm.
The sign has the QR code scan thing. You know, it says volunteers come to pick up the trash, and people are like, oh, this is a cool little thing.
Mm-hmm.
They'll check the sign and go, oh, I could do this just once a week or once a month. If we could say it would be once a month, I guess, at that point.
Yeah.
Then you scan it, you join it, and then people start joining and being part of the volunteering list.
Mm-hmm. You know, because it could be like, it could be a rotation, right?
Yes.
So like, it might be more than once a week, but you don't have to go more than once a month because there are enough people in the rotation, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah,
the app would take care of that for you. So like,
yes.
And when you scan the QR code on the sign to think about volunteering, it'll tell you like there are 8 people in the rotation. And on average, that means you'll pick up trash once every 3 weeks.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And so, I'm also imagining that if I'm volunteering for this, I'm assigned to one garbage can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of core to making it easy to participate,
mm-hmm.
because then you sort of don't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like not that you have to do 5 in the park at once, but like if I got a message that says a can is full, like
that's this can.
It's this can. Yeah.
That's how I've been imagining it.
Yeah,
I'm thinking of it in like you go to a high volume can, a lot of traffic or whatever,
mm-hmm.
where a lot of trash gets filled up. And that's the can. And this is where people are volunteering. And you say, this can is used. Volunteers pick up this trash can. If you'd like to participate, here are some options.
Or like, go here and see what the details are. Yeah. Yes.
Right.
Like, go here to learn more and sign up.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you as a person could choose to volunteer at multiple trash cans if you wanted to.
Right.
Right. That makes sense. You could sign up for multiple cans in the app. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, so the question is there something valuable about ownership? Like, I am the person who handles this? Or do you want to have it where I get the notification, but 4 other people got the notification, and we're racing to see who gets there?
I would think that the app just cycles through.
Yeah.
When it's your turn to do the app, the garbage is about full, right. Then the app will tell you, you should go get the trash to this evening.
Right. So that becomes a question about volunteer motivation then. Like, a matter of like, well, I'm kind of busy this week.
Well, okay, then
then you could pass it on, but then everybody would pass it on. Well, not if
if you're
volunteering, then you want to do it.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're right.
Exactly.
You're
right. Like, you won't pass it on unless you really, really need to. And the thing is, like, yeah, yeah. So, and you would have to, like, have some kind of, maybe there'd be, like, a public message board for the group of volunteers that you're working with. And you'd be like, hey, I can't get it. It's full and it's my turn to do it, but I can't do it today.
Yeah.
You're next in rotation. Can we just move it up one?
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Right. So this is system design, but none of that is gamification.
Yeah.
Right? No.
Like that's what I'm trying to think of, like, because it is so much easier to volunteer than it is to do volunteer work.
Yeah.
Like, and I think that you have to assume that's going to happen.
Yeah.
And so I think that's like that's a nut to crack for this one.
Yeah. I think when you.
And so you want people to feel comfortable. You want people to feel comfortable. You don't want them to be burdened with the responsibility. You want them to be like, you want them to feel pride in the responsibility. And so because it's a volunteer thing and because things might come up and because you might not be as good at it as you thought you were, that can have negative reinforcements and then you may just drop out of the system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you want people to feel comfortable not being awesome at it.
Right.
Because you just want them to contribute when they can. But you can't just say contribute when you can because then there's no routine set and there's no. So, you kind of have to attack it at both sides, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I think there needs to be like a notification when it's full and it needs to go to the person at the top of the list.
Mm-hmm.
But I think maybe that group could, like on an individual level, you could have achievements.
Yeah.
Like,
Right. If you can pass, but then the next time you don't get as many points or something. Or if you pick up someone where someone else passed, you get bonus points.
Yeah.
You know, like there could be a little bit of that. And it could be kind of silly and doesn't have to be that serious, but like it could be an extra layer to sort of prevent people from saying like, yeah, I could, but I kind of want to pass, but like, I'll get those two extra silly points. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It could just give a tiny little kick without making it feel so serious.
Yeah. Or like individuals are working towards a whole set of a suite of achievements that you can get.
Yeah.
Depending on like the, maybe how fast you get to the trash can when it's your turn, or
right.
Like how many times you've picked it up, or how long, and then like your group could be also developing points together. So like,
I like that. Yeah. Like, have like a shared pot as well as your own individual score. Make it really a co-op experience.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely, like a lot, definitely some individual rewards, but also some cooperative rewards.
Ultimately, because my big concern at the front was privatizing this activity. But if this was something that was sponsored and funded by a municipal government, then there could be actual material rewards that are taxpayer funded.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it could be essentially that the taxpayers are paying for this labor and via rewards. So so it'd be gamified, but then if your group gets this amount, then something happens. Yeah. It's a party or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know what it takes to motivate people, but like, right. You know, like, I mean, honestly, it could just be like $5 gift cards or whatever. Like that seems kind of almost a little icky, but like
free parks pass.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Stuff like that.
Parking voucher. I mean, there's tons.
That's a good idea.
I think it'd be really cool to have it be like a locally oriented
reward. Yeah.
So like, you know, we have, in addition to amazing municipal parks in the Twin Cities area, Minnesota also has a fantastic state's park system.
Yes.
And the state park pass for a whole year is just like you put it on your car. It's like $25. That's not very much.
Yeah. Right.
But like that would totally tie in with the actions that you're taking, right? Like the reward
I like it a lot.
Ties in with the, or it's like you could park, like state parks pass, although that would definitely pull from the NPR reward crowd, so maybe not. They always use that.
City parking. I mean, if you live in the city, a lot of times you get a parking pass for your street, and those cost money and they expire. And like, it doesn't guarantee you a spot, but it gets you a spot on a certain block or whatever.
That's
something that could definitely be part of the system and would probably be easy to tie in.
And like maybe if you're one of the volunteers and like you participated, like as in like your phone was responsible for was there when you picked up a trash bag. And your team did well, like you could pick your own reward. So maybe it gives you a few different options, like state's park pass or parking voucher or metro like rides, bus passes on train passes.
Yeah.
And stuff
bus
like that.
Passes, of course. Yeah. Because I was like parking in places that seems slightly counterintuitive. But if it's a bus pass,
yeah.
Like you can use the bus pass to go to the state fair or something.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
and it's also environmentally friendly. Yeah. So it's really cool.
This, reward incentive structure, this is tried and true. Like this is how the Girl Scouts operate. This is how I used to do a lot of work making these little micro sites for companies employees would have performance based rewards that they could then trade in for like vacations and like tickets to stuff.
Yep.
And so this is very similar to those kinds of systems.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel a little strange sometimes, and they feel basically like moving money through, like abstracting financial rewards, which makes the ultimate result a little bit less because it has to go through some systems.
Yeah.
But at the same time, people are kind of more motivated for a prize than they are for $10, even if the prize is $8.
Yeah.
Like, or worth $8.
Yeah.
The system's fun.
Yes. And in terms of city services, that becomes more economical for the city to provide than it would be to outlay a budget for it or something. But now, there's lots of different ways you could do this. But
There are lots of different ways. I mean, funding is, first of all, probably not within the scope of this podcast. Mm-hmm. but also, I have no idea. And that actually,
we can do some imaginings here. Things that we imagine are true. Yeah.
Melinda Gates, fund our thing.
Right.
But I honestly, I just walked up. I walked around this morning and I had this idea and I brought it to you guys today. So I have not done any research about whether this kind of system already exists somewhere. And it seems like the kind of, I mean, all ideas are like this, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this has got to exist somewhere.
Right.
Maybe it doesn't, maybe it does, but that's definitely something I'm going to be looking up over dinner.
Yeah. Well, one of the things about brainstorming, the way I like to brainstorm is I like to identify the things I don't know and then make decisions based on if the question to that, the answer to that question is one way or another, but never forget that I don't know the answer to that question.
Yeah.
Right. And so it doesn't stop you in your tracks. You can keep thinking. But you have to be ready for when you learn the real fact of it to go down the other branch, you know, or to modify the thinking you've done already.
The word is pivot.
There you go. Yes, correct. To pivot.
Yeah.
And I expect we'll be doing quite a lot of that in this episode format, because if this is any hint, we'll probably be having bigger ideas than like our sort of game design concepts that will have less information in front of us to work on. And hopefully, listeners, hopefully it's a good showcase of design thinking. Like,
yeah, let us know. Email us. I don't think we haven't added this to the feedback form.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you could still go to the feedback form and tell us what you think.
Yeah.
Yes, there is an option for that.
Oh my gosh, Steven, you're the best.
Stop.
High five.
Well, you're likely to hear another one of these. I think it went really well.
Mm-hmm. I had fun.
And Ellen, you've got some thoughts now if you want to take this idea further, because this is something that you actually, if you really wanted, were motivated to make this happen. I know it was just an idea you had, but like, I kind of want to see this happen
Me
now.
Me too. Well, I'll definitely do some more research on it. I've got so many irons and so many fires right now.
Yeah.
So it probably won't be on the near list, but I'll put it on the backlog and we'll get to it eventually.
Sounds good. That's our show. Check out our website, nicegames.club, for show notes on today's episode. We'd also love to hear your thoughts on the episode and on the show overall at nicegames.club/feedback. You can get in touch with us on Twitter at nicegamesclub, where Dale tweets about game dev resources and questions to ask a job during an interview. I think that tracks.
Yeah, it's right.
Okay. You can also email us, contact@nicegames.club. Want to support the show? There are so many ways. You can leave us a review in your favorite podcast app. You can tell your friends about your favorite episodes. You can join us on Discord by visiting nicegames.club/discord. And also, we are on Patreon. As a patron of the show, you can enjoy bonus content, extra jokes, and a whole lot more. Sign up at patreon.com/nicegamesclub. So until we start again, remember to
play nice
and make nice and pick up your trash.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.